It is Thursday, the 29th of August, and this is episode 180 of Digital Outbreaks. Welcome to another episode. I'm Chris, and as ever, joined by Ian. Hello, Ian.
I think I am still Ian. Good evening.
You think you're still Ian? Yes.
Yeah.
Just about. I've just come back from spa, as you know, and I'm on a bit of a high. I sound drunk, but that's just me being on a high.
You were unbelievably jammy. Because you kind of dropped it in last week's podcast casually. Oh, by the way, I'm off to spa. And that's all you said. But you didn't actually say that you're a competition winner. You were there as a guest of Cater Room. You got exclusive access to everything. You probably... No, I better not say that. my tongue is loose tonight.
It certainly is. We've had to abandon three attempts at this podcast because it's been well over the mark.
It involved Rolf Harrison Morph.
My pass had VIP written on it, and I felt like one. It's good.
You looked like one as well. I mean, you just slotted right in there.
I deserve to be there. Anyway, so yeah, that's why I sound a bit drunk and excited. Someone else drunk and probably not that excited. Steve Ballmer is stepping down as CEO of Microsoft.
Woo! Woo!
I think Microsoft are genuinely, or the internally, Microsoft are actually pretty gutted about this.
I don't know.
From the little ramblings I've been hearing every now and again, they think it's quite a sad day in Microsoft hours, but I don't think many shareholders and analysts agree.
So I guess some people, so the way they put it out was last Friday, so it was kind of, late in the week, almost like a kind of bit of the story type day to kind of get your dirty news out, because the weekend just kind of takes all the heat away. And they also put it that it was long planned, and it'll go within the next year, and it's all part of, success. This looks like it's been pushed. I mean, they've just done a reorg. They're not going to do a reorg
kicked it out.
but the whole point of the reorg is usually that's him getting, like his first lieutenants in place and getting all the people that he wants to work, for him, his direct reports. And he's done that, 6-7 weeks ago? And now he's off.
Yeah. But other than the fact they're saying they're going to be, appointing a new replacement by committee, which sounds like everything that's wrong with Microsoft right now.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. Because, if you look at Apple, it's like Steve Jobs, looks like you handpicked him. It's him that's made the decision.
Did. Yeah.
And he's probably the guy that's recommended to their board. It's Tim. Just put Tim in charge and, make sure that Johnny's left alone as well. Make sure nobody interferes.
No, I 100%, and I think a lot of big companies have this where you recruit by a committee and then they never feel they can do anything because they're pushed from pillar to post, and people always feel like it doesn't sound right anyway. But that's what they're going to do. And Ballmer said, I'm proud to have been part of this company since its inception almost. I think what's he, employee number 30?
Yeah, and he talked about what he's proud of. We've grown from $7.5 million to nearly $78 billion since he joined Microsoft. And that's fair enough. Obviously, he was a real key part of that business growing. But since he's taken over as CEO in 2000, if you had your, $800, I think it was, if you had your $1,000 of shares in 2000, it's now worth $830. Mm. Look at all the other tech companies.
I'm not sure he would mention that on his leaving speech, though.
No, but under his command, they've made a number of missteps. I mean, probably the only one that jumps out as being really successful is probably Xbox.
Xbox has been, and he wasn't in charge for all of that, was he? Or was he in place?
Yeah, I think it was. Well, when did Xbox come in?
I don't know, it was a long time ago now. This is why it's making me think.
Hold on, Google's our friend.
Okay. But he has been in charge. He was in charge of that Vista mess, really, wasn't he? And he said that was not his proudest moment, that he got that wrong. And they've kind of missed out on the tablets and smartphones, really. And they're kind of still catching up in both those arenas.
So Xbox came out 2001, and I think the issue is, like, so yes, they definitely did miss both tablets and smartphones. I mean, in the videos, that it's embarrassing, you know, for a CEO to be seen chuckling at the iPhone and, you know, and telling people that, you know, $500 and, you know, we've got millions of phones out there, they're selling nothing, and I like our strategy. You've still not got a strategy. You know, you're like 5-6 years on. And I think that's the thing that I think's amazed me the most. It's something the size of Microsoft haven't been able to stand up
a real valid...
Yeah, but they haven't been able to stand up a valid competitor.
Yeah.
You know, so not just an iPhone. So iPhone came out, Androids came out, and Android have managed, you know, so Google via Android have managed to put, you know, not just be a main competitor, but almost, you know, take the market. Not obviously take the whole thing, but, you know, they're the biggest percentage share. They don't have the biggest percentage share from profits point of view. But
oh, and they've got buy-in as well. That's the biggest thing they've got. Yeah, is people absolutely like the Android platform, and people are behind it and like to use it. So yeah,
and people still aren't behind it because everybody thought, well, you know, with RIM and Microsoft Enterprise, or can I save them? You know, because Enterprise won't switch. And it's like, no, Enterprise do want to switch because they've seen better products at home. Then they go to work and you're like, oh, I now need to use this. This isn't going to fly. And I think the biggest issue for me is he hasn't been able to stand up a competitor.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the restructure was right. Try and get rid of the silos that they say that existed. Do a more horizontal thing. Have dedicated teams almost on projects rather than in, you know, although, you know, have, is it. Where do they go? I mean, this is the thing. You've got that many people, you've got that much money, you've got, you know, they could almost turn themselves into anything they wanted, really.
They could do, and recently they've been talking about more hardware and services route. And almost kind of going away from what they're kind of currently doing.
You go so far down the I mean, they have gone more down the integration route as far as, you know, trying to offer up services. But if you take a slightly wrong turn at the beginning, it has a knock on effect, doesn't it?
And amazingly, I always thought with Enterprise, of kind of, you know, from a desktop perspective, they've got it wrapped up. But they've taken so many missteps and they've kind of missed the point of tablets.
Well, I think they had the best in Windows 7. I think they had the best operating system out there. And now they don't have Windows 7 anymore. Basically, I think they've got one of the worst.
And that's the thing. I mean, he said they felt, you know, Vista was a misstep and they made a mess of that.
And then they corrected it all.
And they did correct it all. And I think Windows 8, you know, talking to, you know, folk that I work with that use Windows day to day at home, it's a mess.
It's nail in the coffin. I wouldn't buy a PC now with Windows 8 on it. It's, you know, nail in the coffin for me, that. And I would definitely, I'd still buy a Windows 7. I have bought a Windows 7 laptop not that long ago. So there you go.
And in fact, I mean, the biggest thing he's done to affect the share price in the last 5 years is leaving.
7% jump.
Yeah. And he made $760 million by leaving.
Yeah.
If he sold his shares that day.
There you go.
Amazing.
Keeping on the megacorp, there's an email pinging around that shows that Apple, and more importantly, Steve Jobs, deliberately did their in-app purchases on newspapers and books to screw over Amazon.
Yeah, I thought this was pretty damning, actually. And we've talked about this before and the way Jobs works and all that kind of stuff. And he's not, clearly it wasn't the same. A lot of people want to make him out to be, but none of these guys are.
No.
You know, it's like Bill Gates, you know, isn't a saint and all that kind of nonsense. But it was just the actual, it was just the way it was actually, you know, emailed. And it was Phil Schiller had emailed him and said, well, the primary message is that there are Kindle apps and lots of mobile devices. The secondary message that can't be missed is that it's easy to switch from iPhone to Android, not fun to watch.
Yeah, so this was on an advert that was on TV, and showing that someone could download a Kindle book on an iPhone or whatever, and it would ping up on their other devices or whatever. And I wouldn't take that storyline to mean what they read into it, but there you go.
No, but clearly a lot of the for them it was all lock-in to platform.
Yes,
and we'll see later on when we talk about Nintendo. There are some parallels between Apple and Nintendo. You know, they want you in your ecosystem, they want you to buy the hardware, you want to be in that arena. And it was Jobs' reply. The first step might be to say that they must use our payment system for everything, including books triggered by the newspapers and magazines. If they want to compare us to Android, let's force them to use our far superior payment systems. Thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, even that's jaded, you know, jaded and just, it's, yeah. basically nothing to do with consumer and offering a consumer a good experience, and all about forcing, you know, Amazon to go through their payment system and screw over their business model.
Which is a real shame. And I think actually, probably about a year ago, Google changed, but I think the previous 2 years, they were starting to go down that Apple route of, right, sod it. You're not going to get a good experience of Google products on iOS or anywhere else. Buy Android and it'll be great. And I think they've reversed that, because the apps that they're bringing out now are fantastic.
And it wasn't that long ago we did report that they'd gone and said they're sick of all this litigation and getting sucked down all these routes and getting into all these arguments and tit for tat. And they said, we're just going to go back to what we do well. And since then, they've been true to that word. Everything they've brought out has, you know, that suddenly the maps appeared on the iPad and they were amazing. And, you know, it's just all those things come suddenly flooding back again.
Yeah, pretty much. And I know there's certainly amongst the kind of folk I follow on Twitter, there is a kind of growing hatred of Google. They tie all the security issues to Google, and I think that's unfair because it's all the tech companies. They talk about how they pry into email, and it's like, if you don't think other people are doing it, then, you know, you're misguided. And I do think there's a general, you know, this growing Google. And I can see people tweeting saying, oh, that's me moved to a secure mail. I no longer use Google for anything. Mm. It's like, well, I think you're missing out. I really do.
Yeah.
Most of the companies are giving away your privacy by using their tools for free. If you're using a tool for free, you're giving your data away. Simple
that's
as that.
That's pretty much what it comes down to, yeah. Yeah. Google have dropped price of their Nexus 4. So it was already an incredibly priced product. So this is their phone, and now it's even better price. So in the US, it's $199, which is unbelievable. And now in the UK, we're talking, where are we? $159.
Which for a SIM-free phone.
Mm, yeah, that's, you know, that.
And it's still a really good phone. You know,
it's my phone.
Yep.
What I use daily, and I'm still very happy with it.
And the thing is, everybody, we get all excited, you know, and I'm probably one of the worst. You know, it's like, oh, new gadget, new specs. Oh, that's the best out there. But when you look at it, it's like, you know, for 160 quid, and fair enough, that's 8 gig. So if you wanted 16 gig, 200 quid, you know, 200 quid, SIM free.
Well, when you compare it to the other phones, you know, we're talking 600 odd quid, and even the Motorola phone that was talked about, you know, outside contract, that's still an expensive phone, whereas it's still not got great stats. In fact, the stats are probably worse than the Nexus 4. But yeah, so if you're looking for a phone and you want it SIM free and nice low price, well, it's hard not to take the Nexus 4 up on that offer.
No, and I don't know if it means there's a new one coming out soon, but even then, who cares? It's still a great phone.
Yep, still runs my life.
And the new Nexus 7 came out as well in the UK yesterday.
Ah, yes, good for them. Good for the Nexus 7. 3 has confirmed its 4G plans. It's sort of come late to the party as far as announcements go. I mean, I think there might be a reason they've announced it now, but basically they've come out and said what we reported on a while back, which is, we're going to roll out 4G. Everyone who's got 4G phone will be able to use our 4G, no extra cost, and we will still leave our all-you-can-eat data in place for those who have that on their contract. It's enticing, isn't it? They're very good at enticing you in. Now, you've had your moments of believing they haven't really delivered on everything they promised, but they're certainly giving the best proposition, shall we say?
Yeah, no, I can't fault them. And I've said it before, where I work, the coverage is really poor right now. And I just need to keep chipping away and say, look, there is something wrong with your coverage in this area. It's just dead. I can't even, you know, I couldn't even make a phone call. You know,
I remember I used to tell you how frustrating O2 was around here for the exact same reason. You know, when I had to be on O2 to get an iPhone, and then it meant that my phone was useless as you know, anywhere other than in a Wi-Fi zone, you know.
And so what they're saying, it is very frustrating. What they're saying is, from December, London, Birmingham, Manchester will be the first cities to get 4G rollout for 3. And by the end of 2014, so they're being quite vague, but the end of 2014, there'll be another 50 cities across the UK that they'll roll out to. And by the end of 2015, 98% coverage. So it sounds really good. They're keeping the all-you-can-eat data. So it'll be interesting just to see just how that scales. because obviously they're the only ones doing it.
Yes.
You know, that I mean,
everyone else is being really guarded. And that, I mean, that's one of the reasons Three came out with the announcement, because O2 and Vodafone's launched their 4G today in their cities that they have prescribed will, you know, I think it's one city for Vodafone, isn't it? London. So London, Vodafone and O2, I think it's London, Leeds and Bradford.
And even Vodafone, I noticed, have actually started seeing it's parts of London.
Right, so it's, yeah, so it's not in city, but okay, probably central London then. And, you know, they're being criticised in some quarters for being too conservative about the plans and stuff they're offering. I guess they're worried that they can't cope with the traffic or whatever, but I think most people and most consumers are still yet to be convinced that this is what they need.
I tend to agree. I mean, an issue for me has always been the I think if EE had been the same price as like maybe what Shaq's paying just now, so £31, so double what I'm paying in Three, but they'd been unlimited data, I would have moved.
Mm.
So I think I would have thought that's good value, but not for I think, what is it, 5 gig or 3 gig? I think it's 3 gig it gets. It's rubbish.
So when I was in Spa, I was on a foreign booster, if you like, and it's the first time I've ever had to do that and really monitor my usage carefully.
Mm.
And it's a horrible thing to have to do, to keep turning on and off data, to turn off all your syncing, to worry about that all the time, and suddenly to realize how much data Google Maps, when you're trying to do navigation, uses up. It's unbelievable. It turns it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it can suck data quicker than you can imagine. It was horrible. And so to have to think about that just in your daily, you know, I don't want to accidentally use up 5 gig, because it's pretty easy to do that with a fast network.
No, absolutely. I mean, and I've never had a limited connection at home. I've always, you know, whatever broadband provider I've went with, I've always wanted, you know, fast as I can get and unlimited. Mm. But I know, remember when PlusNet were doing their, you know, you can pay, you know, I don't know, £12-15, but you'd only maybe get 3 or 4 gig every month. And I know some of the chaps I work with thought that was a better option for them, and until iPlayer and such things took off.
Yeah, that's it. Suddenly the next thing comes along, doesn't it?
But before then, they were doing things like, I can't download this until next week. And I was like, what's the point?
Live the dream.
Yeah, it just felt, and fair enough, if you're tight in money, maybe that's what you have to do, but it just felt really limiting.
It certainly felt good to be back in the UK, so I've got an unlimited contract on my phone, so it's just nice to not have to worry. And to be honest, I don't use anywhere near, well, I use a tiny amounts of data really, but it's just nice to not have to worry and not to have to check and not have to look all the time.
Yeah, and I've just fired up, I mean, I've got the monitoring tool, which I can't remember its name now. I remember it in a minute. I remember it in like the Three Stories time, and I'll blurt it out like a fool. And it's telling me, and I think I rebooted it the weekend, but I've downloaded 60 gig.
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
And I can't even remember what I've been doing. Nothing jumps out that I've been doing anything.
Been sleep downloading.
But I think it's just between, you know, podcasts, streaming, watching different bits and pieces, it just happens.
Yeah, and iPlayer, I'm sure, uses that more than, you know, especially if you watch like HD streams, and why wouldn't you? Yeah. Twitter has been updating all their guff. So they've updated their Android and their web clients with the new abuse reporting tools. And they've brought them more into line with the iOS app that was already had these tools in place. And they've added conversations to the web, so you can follow on tweets as conversations.
The conversation thing confuses me a bit, but never mind.
Yeah, they've always had sort of something on the web which shows conversations, and you could always, you know, in clients you could generally sort of pick them up, but I think they were just a bit more bespoke rather than, you know, the genuine conversation that went on. I think now they're being more careful with making sure that it's in chronological order, makes sense, and when people chipped in and where the conversation branched, for example, they you can now follow that through, or it sounds like you have. I haven't yet managed to see it on the web yet.
I've seen the bit that confused me was, I took yesterday we were obviously having a lot of chat as we tried to organise hotels at Silverstone, and I used that as a little test, and it kind of missed bits. And we never branched. I just thought, is that just day one problems? But then other people were saying it's quite confusing because you're used to this, you know, like it's just in you know, stream order, you know, so it's you know, the conversation's not nested or threaded. And now they've brought that in. And I guess in some ways I've always been used to, remember, just because I'm using Tweetbot so much, you know, in Tweetbot, if I want to see the conversation, you just, you know, swipe and you see it all, and it's like, oh, okay, fair enough. You know, I've seen it and job done. I've never felt a problem.
Maybe not. But as like you, I use Tweetbot, so none of these things really impact me on a day-to-day basis. But nevertheless, it is good to be able to see a tweet conversation, and even if they haven't got it nailed now, they will, I'm sure, get it nailed. Because it does make, you know, when there's a tweet out in the middle of nowhere that doesn't make any sense, it's nice to be able to put it into context for sure. And it does make their service more useful if they can get it sorted.
I think it'll make it useful for, you know, maybe the kind of less geeky audience, because Twitter right at the start was all geeks, and then it's obviously not. And so maybe it helps.
Maybe
it helps.
Facebook, another feature they've announced, it's going to be shared photo albums. So basically, instead of having a photo album which only you can contribute to, up to, 50 friends can also pump photos into a particular album. I'm sure they're thinking along things like weddings, things like that, parties where, you know, lots of people, instead of having lots of individual albums, you could shove them all into one communal album and have all the photos there for future.
Makes sense.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I'm kind of surprised that you couldn't do it until now.
Yeah, so was I.
I've never really looked into it, so I just assumed it. You might be able to do that, but I guess you can't. They've also upped the limit, so instead of having a limit of 1,000 photos, which albums have now, 10,000 are possible, but each contributor is limited to 200 photos each into the pot, if you like. Apparently, this came out of one of their hackathon days, so internally they run these, I guess, little days where they can play around with their data, and they came up with this.
I guess it'll be good when you said weddings, but I guess for a catering race weekend, you could get all the guys in your group added in and
get,
I guess, you'd
pump
have a
photos.
Yeah, fantastic album at the end of it.
All owned by Facebook. Lovely.
Well, you can do it in Google Plus as well. It's just nobody's there.
Hello, I've got some photos. Oh, no one here. Okay, I'll go back to Facebook. Feedly Pro, you can take this one.
I'm sensing that I need to drop all Google reader stories. Very quickly. if you want to. I'm drumming my finger.
Hello? Any listeners there?
If you don't watch, I'll bring up my Rolf Harris jokes. Yeah, exactly.
Ban our podcast.
Yep. $5 a month, $45 a year, you can get Feedly Pro. This was the kind of pro service launched 4 weeks ago that was there for 5,000 users only. And basically, they've kind of bought the hardware for everybody to now join. So you can now get search and a few other pro features. But they have listened to feedback, because they actually, one of the pro features was pocket integration, which just seems a bizarre one to have as a pro feature, that I can send something to another free web service. But they've listened to people and said that's no longer pro. So if you're interested, crack on. I do think if you use Google Reader, I do think to keep these services going, you're going to have to go for a paid option. I'll never say any more again on these things.
Nah, and sorry, it's definitely. If you like Feedly, go for this paid option, because it's the only way these services are going to, you know, continue and be able to sustain going forward. Nintendo have released a door wedge, it looked like. But basically called it a 2DS. So it's basically 3DS chips, but inside a door wedge-shaped kind of device that doesn't have a hinge like the 3DS does. But it's got two screens, but the two screens are really one screen, faked up into two screens. Anyway, this basically, it's a lower version of their 3DS that doesn't have 3D, plays all those games, and is dead cheap, so £109. I say dead cheap, it's not incredibly cheap, but it's fairly cheap, and I guess aim more at the kiddie market for ready for Christmas.
Yep, I think they looked at the back catalogue and thought those gaming watches were really popular. I'm going to make one of those again. It just looks like a piece of turd.
It doesn't look attractive, but it's definitely in the price range. It's going to be great for parents wanting to buy younger kids, you know, a Nintendo device that they can play their sister or brother's games in. And I think I see nothing wrong with it. I mean, it doesn't have to look that good. And what does it matter that it's this one screen split by a bit of plastic, effectively? that doesn't make any difference to a user. I think it's good. I you're looking quizzically bemused by that, but I can't see that it can be anything other than a good thing for younger kids.
It looks shit.
All right. I'm not going to convince you. We'll see on the
no,
sale.
No, because I just... And as, I guess
it's not meant for you, is it?
Oh, how do you know that?
Judging by your reaction, it better not be.
I don't know. To me, the issue with the 3DS has never been the fact it's 3D or the price of it. The fact has been there's no real titles for it, you know. And there's a couple coming out on November 22nd. You know, Super Mario 3D World and Zelda.
But don't it's still sold. I mean, that's unfair to say.
It has sold, but not to the level that they thought. I think the 3D has turned out to be a gimmick.
No, because I think the DS was incredibly successful, right? And 3DS, not quite so. But the fact that the 3DS could still play all the DS games.
But even the fact of calling it a 2DS, so you can play your 3DS games in 2D, it's just rubbish.
I think you're missing who it's meant for. I think
no, it's meant for kids. It is a toy. It is out in time for Christmas.
And it's a lot cheaper than the big.
I do get the feeling somebody had like a couple of dice and thought, right, last chance. What
maybe
we'll do.
Maybe
throw them, and it's like. Oh, you're right. Let's waste a Game & Watch. Sure, that some retro shit from 1983 would be a good seller this Christmas.
There you go. Naysayer. I'd say twerk, but I wouldn't know what I was talking about.
Hold on, you've missed the other important Nintendo news.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
Sorry, that Wii U. They're reducing the price of their deluxe console by $50.
30 quid off.
Yay!
That'll make all the difference in the onslaught of Xbox One and PS4 that's coming.
Yeah, I think they might be a bit stuffed on that. No, still no one that I know has ever bought into a Wii U or the...
Nope.
No. I think they failed on that front, basically.
Yeah.
Sorry, I missed that story. Anyway.
No, it's okay.
Words. We've had the latest, is it Oxford English Dictionary getting in the latest fads and trends into their wordifying section?
Aye. Bitcoin. Bitcoin's now in there.
Yep. So let's not just, well, everyone knows what Bitcoin is, right?
Yeah, we don't need to go through the bring your own device. So BYOD.
See, now, see, some of these I've not even, this is how out of touch I'm getting now. Because I don't, not in an office, I don't hear these things.
See, I'm in an office, so bring your own device gets everybody excited, and then I'm the guy that says
no. You can't. Digital detox, so having time away from devices. I think I need one of those.
I thought that was a load of cock, to be honest.
Geek chic, I've heard that banded around a bit, but yeah. It's, you know, I don't know why these have to, because once they're in the dictionary, they're there for good, right?
Yeah, and that's the bit I don't understand, because some of these are like, you sure these aren't just like this year?
Yeah, I think that everything moves so quick now, doesn't it? What's the next one?
Internet of Things.
Never even heard of it.
Well, they just talk about how everything's going to have an IP address. And certainly when my house starts to tweet, Internet of Things will be a thing.
Oh, there you go. MOOC.
I've never heard of that.
No.
A course or study made available over the internet without charge to a very large number of people.
Massively open online course, maybe? Do you think that's what it stands for? Anyway, there we go. Phablet. Everyone's heard of them. So somewhere in between a phone and a tablet.
You're the man. Massively open online course.
Hey, get me. I could work these TLAs. Unlike is in there. I unlike you. Well, there we go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dappy. Dappy, yeah. Isn't that been a word for ages? Dappy?
Don't know.
Derp.
Squee?
Yeah, I'm not, no.
Twerk?
No, apparently that's dancing in a sexually provocative manner involving thrusting hip movements and low squatting stance.
Certainly when you've done that to me, I've always thought twerk.
What a twerk. Yeah, there we go. Oh,
but then we've got more. We've got emoji. More. Woohoo!
Emoji. So they're the little like graphics, right? That you get in when you type a smiley face now.
FOMO. You must have heard of FOMO.
No, I've heard of MOFO.
Hey! FOMO, fear of missing out.
Okay, I get that all the time.
And then the final one, selfie.
Oh, everyone knows selfie.
everyone was selfie. Shaq's criticizing me for my selfies after I've done a run. And he's like, "You're going to put a selfie up?" And I'm like, "Ah, yeah, probably." And then as soon as I put it up, he was like, "He'd be like, dear God."
And there you go. They're the words that we should all be using. I'm sure all the kids are using it. Yeah, something like that. Any picks?
No.
No? Then that's the end of our podcast. Whoop-dee-doo. You want to find out more about us? You can do. DigitalOutbox.com. Email info@DigitalOutbox.com. Twitter, Skype, Digital Outbox. I'm on Twitter as Cheesy UK. And if you want to find out more about my racing, academyracer.co.uk. Ian?
Website is iandoo.net. Twitter is Sweeper. I'm just thinking I should probably mention that Road Inc. Legendary Cars is free today on the App Store, which probably means by the time I get Madison in gear and do this, it won't be. But just in case...
Just so you know, it was free before.
It was free.
And it now is when like, it goes there, it's $10. It was
and
free.
And it's like 50 classic cars. You only get one. You can download all the rest for free. You download the model, you spin it around, you get like nice little kind of bits and pieces about it. And it's like, yeah, it's car porn. Chris loves it.
Whoop-dee-doo. That's it. The end of our podcast. So speak to you next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye. I've got four words for you. I love
Ish.
This podcast.
Yay.
Next week, we'll have a whole load of new gadgets to talk about.
What's coming out next week?
Samsung are launching their big ass, like, phablet phone thing.
Okay.
And also their watch. Sony are doing their sexy new phone, which just looks like the previous one. And then the week after, we have Apple announcement.
Sony, is it? I guess it's an Android phone. Sony's on it.
Yeah.
And then week after what?
September 10th will be the Apple stuff.
Ooh. Cool.
New phones. iOS 7.
Yes, it's no phone time of year, isn't it? Yeah.
Yep. No doubt we'll get to watch a keynote again and tell us all about the 10 tent poles that we already know about.
Yeah.
And the terrible icons that iOS 7 has.
Is it still not updated them?
Oh, feck me. Just like...
They're not going to, are they?
No.
We know what we're doing. You're all wrong.
It's like... Oh...